I talked to my sisters later that night. I prayed about going home. Jimmy was ready to go, but I was led to stay here for the rest of the conference since I knew his funeral wouldn't be right away. So on Wednesday night, 2019, Pastor Tracy stepped over during his sermon and laid his hands on Jimmy. Although Jimmy was under a strong anointing, he was still sitting up in his seat or leaning back on it beside me. After the prayer, my forearm touched Jimmy's arm, and immediately I was in the spirit. It was in the spirit that Jimmy caught my hand and said, "Let's go." We took off like a shot through the air. But before we got far, a hand caught me and pulled me in another direction. And Jimmy shot off to the right, and I went up and landed in a room. Even though it was a plain, ordinary room, I believe it was heaven. Immediately, I saw a number of relatives. I don't remember who they were, though. It seemed like I was going down a hall as I moved past them. I landed near the end of a hall in an open space. There was John sitting in a chair, and behind him, more a voice than a person, was my nephew, Calvin, who had cancer and passed away in 2000, 2 months before his 37th birthday. He was the son of my older brother, then 83, but now who just passed. John spoke out, speaking to me first, and he said, "You know, I came too soon." He was 78. And immediately I heard Calvin from behind John and slightly to the left say in a louder, more declarative voice, "And I came way too soon." However, I didn't see him clearly. It was more of a presence than a person. About that time, I became aware of my natural surroundings. Then the thought came to me that the people, they're going to think I'm asleep. I could hear Pastor Tracy preaching. When I said that thought, a face of several voices said, "You have to go back." But I firmly asserted, "I won't leave until I see Jesus." I guess I expected him to look like descriptions I've heard of from other pictures or representations. However, what I saw were two fiery eyes. They were Jesus' eyes. They were where Jesus' eyes would have been if he had been standing behind John, about a foot or two to the right of him. I did not see his entire body. He shouted, "Go get them." And I believe he meant to get the word to those who were dying too soon. I'm writing and praying for accurate recall. Holy Spirit said to get those who would become heirs of salvation. Hebrews 1:14 and Romans 8:17, Acts 8 and 28. As I was being pulled back to the presence, I got a split-second glance of Aunt Eloise, and I heard her voice slowly drowning down that hall saying, "I told him to come." It was as though she wanted to say more, but I was whisked away by a power of force, and she didn't have time to finish. Then I was back in my seat, listening to Pastor Tracy again. I remember thinking again that I hoped I didn't think I was asleep. I looked over at Jimmy, and he was still sitting slumped back in his seat under the power of the anointing. As I thought about what had just happened to me, I wondered if I had seen or experienced anything, or the same, if anyone else had seen or experienced anything, or the same thing I had. It took me a minute to really get back into the service, which was glorious. I have mulled and prayed over this incident, written and rewritten it several times, and this recording is as accurate as I can remember, as the Holy Spirit had brought it back to me. To God be the glory. God says, "I love you. I promised you long life. Get in my plan, get in my will, know what I want you to do, do that. But most of all, get born again. Get totally committed to me. You can't be a half Christian. Get full of the word. If you get full of the word, if you get full of the word, you will do right." You know, the more we read, and if you don't have that book, Love the Way to Victory, we just got some in the house, they're not here right now, but the Love the Way to Victory, get that book. Get it in your heart. Read it, study it, meditate it, or some other book like that. Gloria Copeland has one on that line. But things I used to get mad at, you, my husband, anything, my car, anything. Those things just don't bother me. Because the love of God is shed abroad in my heart. So I've been praying and I said, Lord, what do I do? And I didn't know what I was going to do, but he knows what he wants done. He's calling for us. We've got to get it straight, church. We have to get it straight. You either love God or you don't. It's just not in between. I either love my husband or I don't. It's just not any in between. Now, we have to grow up together. Don't think since we've been married 53 years, we're not still working on stuff. But be willing to work on it. Be willing to grow. Be willing to change. My husband used to, and I enjoyed my birthday so this year, he took me out and just whatever you want to do. Took me out to eat, and we ate, and my husband eats fast. You know, from way back training, when they had to go to do all the work and whatever, he said, we had to eat fast. He still eats fast. But he would eat, when we go out to eat, he would eat, wipe his mouth. Now, we're going out, maybe on a date, not just going out to eat. He said, I'm finished. I'll be ready whenever you are. So I said, carry out, please. And I told him, I'm talking about working on things in marriage now, or in your life. And I told him, I said, I enjoyed it so much because we went out to breakfast that morning. I said, you waited till I got finished. You just waited till I got finished. It wasn't that rush, let's go. I remember one time we went to Tupelo, and for me, if you go to Tupelo, you had to buy something. You had to go somewhere. We went to breakfast. Jamel was little then, maybe 5, 6 or something like that. He went with us. And shoot, by the time before the stores opened, we were headed home. I'm sitting there thinking mad, too. I just know he didn't even ask me if I want to go somewhere. But I'm saying I've grown out of that. That's my point. You have to take the word and grow out of stuff. So God is inviting you to take the word and grow in love for him. And if you have the love for God that you should have, you will have love for your fellow man. They work together. They work together. Some things require 2 AA batteries or whatever kind of battery. Some of them just won't work without 2. And that love of God in your heart for God has to be the same love that you have for your fellow man. So as I get ready to close, I believe the Lord would have me to emphasize again. And if I sounded like I'm fussing, I didn't mean to. If I sounded like I was picking on you, I didn't mean to you. God just so much wants his people to love him wholeheartedly. And I told you, we've been reading Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Isaiah, and all. And all through that, they would just go after the gods of the other people. He said, I'm the God. I'm the one that brought you out of Egypt. And you don't love me. And you're making all these gods. And they were so bad off after idol gods. They were offering their firstborn child as a sacrifice to Moloch. And all these evil idol gods that weren't even gods. God said, I don't require that of you. I just want your life. I want you. I want to pour out my blessings upon you. You know, if he's pouring out blessings upon you and you're running away, how are you going to catch the blessing? He poured the blessing out. As a matter of fact, he has some blessings right here in a minute because I'm going to call people to the altar. He has some blessings right here, but if they aren't here, if they won't come, they can't receive the blessing.